From Vermont Public, this is The Frequency. I'm Henry Epp.
And I'm Anna Van Dyne. It's Wednesday, July 6th. Here are today's headlines.
Vermont has a new attorney general, though she isn't planning to stick around long. Governor Phil Scott swore in Suzanne Young as AG yesterday, making her the first woman to hold the position. Young recently retired from more than 40 years as a civil servant. Her roles included Secretary of the Agency of Administration, Deputy State Treasurer, and Deputy Attorney General. Young's appointment was met with criticism when it was announced a few weeks ago. The Democratic Attorneys General Association accused Scott of playing politics with the office because he didn't have to appoint a new AG. Joshua Diamond, a longtime staff attorney in the AG's office, became the interim leader after TJ Donovan stepped down from the post last month. Donovan's permanent successor will be chosen by voters in November, and Young is not running for the post.
A recent decision by the Vermont Supreme Court restricts the state auditor's ability to review the finances of state contractors. Here's some backstory. 2 years ago, Auditor Doug Hoffer asked to see payroll records of One Care Vermont. The organization coordinates healthcare coverage for roughly 250,000 Vermonters, and it handles over $1 billion in transactions each year. When One Care refused, the auditor sued. Now, the state Supreme Court says the auditor doesn't have the right to review financial records of private contractors for state agencies. That's unless the auditor's office is explicitly mentioned in the state contract. Hoffer has said this decision is a blow to government accountability, and he says he'll work with the legislature to restore access.
By the end of the summer, Vermont may see its first new locally headquartered bank in over 30 years. Founders of the Bank of Burlington say they've raised $33 million to establish their new financial firm. The bank will primarily serve commercial customers by providing business loans. Victoria Bronner is the Bank of Burlington's vice president. She says the bank's creation is a response to decades of consolidation in the banking industry.
The problem with the consolidation is that they become farther removed from their actual customers. Decision making gets moved and centralized, and you don't have that kind of fast responsiveness that particularly the commercial customers need.
The new bank still needs to receive its final charters from state and federal regulators. Bank leaders hope to open in August.
And in what can only be described as the heist of the century, someone made off with an antique tractor in Berkshire over the weekend. According to state police, a 1958 John Deere tractor was stolen out of a garage. Police suspect the 60-plus-year-old vehicle was loaded onto a trailer and driven away. The tractor belongs to 70-year-old Carl Hammer of Montpelier. Police are asking, quote, anybody with any knowledge of this incident or anyone who might have seen anything to get in touch.
Anybody, please. Coming up, the Republican primary for lieutenant governor offers a stark choice. More after this.
Primary elections are coming up in August, and in the Republican race for lieutenant governor, two men will face off. In one corner, we have Joe Benning, a pro-choice moderate who's denounced Donald Trump and condemned the insurrection at the U.S. Capitol.
In the other corner, Gregory Thayer, a Christian conservative who organized a bus trip to Washington, D.C. on January 6th to support Trump's false claims of election fraud. As our colleague Peter Hirschfeld reports, some of their supporters are calling this a battle for the soul of the Vermont GOP.
This is Nick, the owner. This is Peter.
My pleasure, Peter.
Gregory Thayer doesn't own a restaurant he's invited me to in downtown Rutland this morning, but the guy who does, Nick Anagnos, lets Thayer use the place like he does.
His father, I was friends with his father. My father was friends with his father. Friends with the whole family, you know. We're local people, generational people like us, you know, so we all know each other.
It's easy for Thayer to get nostalgic in this dimly lit dining room. It reminds him of his childhood, working at his dad's food business in Rutland called Helene's Variety Store and Deli.
They were great parents. They were always there for us. They provided well. We worked. We learned the value of a dollar early. We learned the hard work. We worked in the stores.
Thayer says those childhood lessons are the core of who he is today.
God, country, family. You know, work hard. Treat people as you want to be treated. That's the big thing, you know, respect everybody.
Those values are also the reason Thayer organized a bus trip from Burlington to Washington, D.C. to bring more than 50 fellow Vermonters to Donald Trump's Stop the Steal rally on January 6th.
And I was there, and I'm glad I was there because I was standing up for our Constitution.
For candidates like Thayer, Trump's actions that day and the weeks leading up to it haven't at all hurt his standing in the Republican Party. In fact, they've burnished it.
Right now, he's probably the leader of the Republican Party in a lot of ways. Some will denounce that, like Mr. Benning, but I firmly believe that that's what, you know, I do believe he is the leader of the party.
Mr. Benning has, in fact, denounced Trump frequently and vociferously. And he's also had strong words for the January 6th ralliers, like Thayer, who watched from the Capitol grounds as rioters sought to halt the counting of ballots.
What I found very problematic was anybody who stepped off the curb and started marching towards the Capitol in a mob that was intent on doing something. And that crosses a line for me. There was no question and remains no question in my mind that that's the very definition of insurrection.
Well, it's another point of Joe Benning being shallow, uninformed and weak, very weak.
Opinions of Donald Trump aren't the only place that Benning and Thayer depart. Thayer supports the overturning of Roe v. Wade. Joe Benning voted for a proposal that would enshrine abortion rights in the Vermont Constitution. Thayer supports Trump's efforts to ban the teaching of critical race theory in schools. Benning believes in the concept of institutional racism and thinks it continues to disadvantage BIPOC Vermonters. Benning says he wishes the race could be about what he says are the bedrock principles of Republicanism: limited government, free market economy, public education, personal responsibility, and liberty.
Beyond those five principles, there are all kinds of social issues where a wedge is immediately driven into the party membership.
For some GOP voters, though, the social issues Benning's referring to are what define the differences between the two candidates.
One of these people, and it's Joe Benning, seems like a sellout to my party and to my values. The other person, Greg Thayer, stands up for everything that I like.
Richard Lee is a lifelong Vermonter who's active in Republican social media forums. He sees Benning as the latest in a line of Vermont Republicans who've spurned their own by supporting the, quote, liberal agenda.
And it was started by Phil Scott, who voted for Joe Biden. Just think about that. Who voted for this mess that's happening in America today. Our governor did that. He's a traitor to the Republican Party.
Some of the Vermont Republicans that Lee brands as traitors also see this GOP primary for lieutenant governor as an existential moment for the party.
I think what it's really getting at is, you know, is the Republican Party going to be a party that's known as being a supporter of democracy, or are they not?
Scott Beck is a Republican who represents St. Johnsbury in the Vermont House of Representatives.
And it seems that Greg Thayer, based on his actions in and around January 6th and his comments since January 6th, is not interested in democracy.
Beck isn't too afraid of Thayer winning this primary race. He says only a small minority of Republican-identifying voters in Vermont share his far-right views. What scares Beck is the impact Thayer's candidacy could have on voters' perception of what the GOP stands for.
You know, they've made it really difficult for a lot of Vermonters to even consider voting for somebody with an R after their name.
Phil Scott has fared just fine since the rise of Trumpism. In 2020, he defeated a liberal Democratic challenger by 40 percentage points, and polls have repeatedly shown that Scott enjoys majority support from Republican and Democratic voters. But the GOP hasn't enjoyed the same results down ballot. In the 6 years since Scott was elected governor, Republicans have lost 10 seats in the Vermont House of Representatives, and state party leadership has so far at least been unwilling to adopt the explicitly anti-Trump rhetoric that's been so politically effective for Scott.
You know, the Vermont GOP really hasn't done that. I mean, right out of the gate, first thing they did was, you know, they had a Let's Go Brandon rally. I mean...
Thayer is more optimistic about the path ahead for pro-Trump Republicans in Vermont. They're concerned about the direction this state is headed in, he says, and energized and motivated to do something about it.
I told people, you know, we've got to get people running for these school boards and we need good people for school board, city council, and the state rep positions, and appointed, because there's a lot of unelected people making decisions.
It isn't just moderate Republicans who are concerned about a scenario in which they prevail. Ray Garofano is a Democratic House representative from Essex who worked to beat back an anti-CRT campaign in her local schools. The group became emboldened, Garofano says, after one of their own won a seat on the school board.
And it was kind of a shock to our community because our school board had been a model for advancing racial equity, and the community was really behind that work.
That board member has since left. And Garofano says the town has elected three progressive board members that share the school's commitment to racial equity. But she says the experience underscored the importance of state and local elections and the potential tenuousness of recent gains on issues like racial equity.
If our select board has many members that have those views, then we wouldn't be celebrating Juneteenth, or we wouldn't have the town involved in, you know, making Essex a more welcoming place for new Americans.
In the August 9th primary, GOP voters will get to decide which brand of Republicans they want to represent them in the general election. For Vermont Public, I'm Peter Hirschfeld.
And tomorrow, we'll hear the second part of this story, a deeper examination of the ideological beliefs held by some pro-Trump conservatives in Vermont.
Thanks for listening to The Frequency today. We had additional reporting from Lexi Krupp. And for this Wildlife Wednesday, we have this recording sent to us by Rich Steckler. Rich recorded this at dusk on the shoreline of Tickle Naked Pond in Reigate. You can hear a song sparrow, a yellow warbler, red-winged blackbirds, and the occasional green frog. He also says he could see a loon cruising on the glass lake pond, but it didn't make a sound.
Also, Tickle Naked Pond. That's a name. Our executive producer is Mark Davis, and our music is by Blue Dot Sessions. I'm Henry Epp.
And I'm Anna Van Dyne. Talk to you tomorrow.